From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect, always connecting in the community, whether on a citywide, countywide, statewide, nationwide basis, and at times worldwide. Today, actually, connecting with Focus on the Family staff, Glenn Lechens is a licensed marriage family therapist and has been, wow, Glenn, you've been with Focus on the Family for a day or two.
Yeah, a few days.
but a history of a time in church counseling prior to that, and we say a day or two, 27 years is the note that I have.
It's getting close to 30.
Yeah, well done. Married to his wife Elizabeth and three young adult children, and a lover of Jesus Christ and an affinity. Now, this is from, you know, the folks that focused on the family for lasagna. and we already off the air, we had our football discussions about your love for the Raiders. Have you had a chance to get out to see the new stadium yet?
I did. It was the last game that John Gruden coached, and the Raiders lost to the Bears. So unfortunately, it wasn't a victory, but it's a beautiful stadium.
Well, go Chucky.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it is a beautiful stadium. I was out there for another event, and it is a beautiful facility. But more importantly, let's jump into the topic of conversation today. There was a recent research showing issues with smartphones and social media and the damage it causes to young people's development. And it, as a father, something I'm sure that concerns you as you were raising kids, as it did myself. And actually I'm starting to see grandchildren falling into some of this. So I'm looking forward to getting into this conversation. Tell us a little bit about what you know about the book, The Anxious Generation.
Well, The Anxious Generation speaks to some of the patterns that have begun to develop, particularly with the advent of the smartphone and social media. 2012 is when a majority of Americans started to experience, you know, having these tools. And they can be tools, but they can be counterproductive and destructive as well. I think one of the questions can be, you know, when do some of these things have their greatest negative impact? And I would say they can have a negative impact the younger that a person is. Children, when they're, you know, just developing those neural connections in the brain, those are going to be connections that really can last almost a lifetime. And so the earlier that they form and the patterns that they get caught into can have an impact down the road.
Well, and we're going to touch on stuff. Let me just kind of tease where we're headed. We're going to talk some about social deprivation and sleep deprivation and attention fragmentation and addiction. The other thing that I have to imagine enters in, because it does with me, and I have to also think that in spite of this study looking at its effects on youth, that most of this, I mean, has got to be applicable to, you know, all ages.
Right.
I find myself, you know, somewhat because although, you know, I mean, I have a typical work day, you know, I'm kind of on call all the time, you know, because radio doesn't stop. And when I'm without my smartphone, there's some anxiety. It's like a withdrawal feeling. I just wonder how much that, you know, might enter into, you know, some of what the kids are dealing with as well.
Well, and when those pathways are being developed, habits are forming. I mean, in a sense, that's what those neural connections are. We used to call them habits. Now we know a bit more about the process of how God created the brain and how it functions. But those patterns are developing. And so for something to counter that, and not so much to eliminate it, I think it's probably not too likely that people are going to just, you know, they're going to walk away from from smartphones. They're going to walk away from social media completely. It's probably not too likely. But how do they monitor that? And what are those areas of impact that do have a negative effect in one's life?
So let's touch on social deprivation. How is it an impact in this area?
Well, it tends to isolate people. I mean, if you have a device, I mean, think of, maybe even the last time you went out to dinner and you were looking around at people, probably a good portion of the patrons of the restaurant were not talking with each other, but they were looking at a cell phone. And again, there can be some good things that people go to, but when that lack of eye-to-eye contact, when that lack of face-to-face communication occurs, that's gonna have a powerful impact. There's been a significant change from, let's say 2011, 2012, the advent of these technological advances, if I put that in quotes, because sometimes advances aren't perfect advances. But to now, there's more of an isolation. People are less inclined. Teens don't spend as much time with peers as they had before. I think there was one study that looked at, in 2011 or 2012, it was on average about 2 hours a day that peers would spend together. In 2022, now some of that may be, COVID related, but in 2022, it went down to about 45 minutes. So quite a significant change as related to some of the social interaction that's gone away.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to being a youth, and I'm gonna think that Glenn, as you and I were growing up, mm-hmm. things were very different. I mean, there was a lot of outside play, mm-hmm. And I just can't imagine running through the mesa chasing lizards and turning to a buddy, get around and block him up. Hold on, I gotta finish this post. It's just such a distraction. And as you mentioned, I was kind of imagining, and I've done that. I've sat in restaurants mm-hmm. and either looked at my table or tables around me. It's like, it's kind of sick. He almost wanted to look, if you can't get past it and turn it off or put it in your pocket, maybe we FaceTime each other from across the table so I can look in your eyes. I mean, it's amazing to see the impact that it's had.
Right. Right. Well, and as you're mentioning, Steve, about, just those distractions, I mean, the attention fragmentation of, it showed that on average, there's about 192 notifications that people get. And a wow. notification doesn't mean I have to look at it, but it does mean I want to check out what it's saying, is somebody responding to maybe something I posted or something of that nature. So it's a real temptation then to be distracted from what's going on at hand. And that affects our attention span.
Yeah.
As far as just these short snippets, what's the next thing that's going to pull for my attention, even regardless of content? And I mean, we all know that, smartphones, social media can have its very negative content to it. But that put aside, it's just the impact that it can have neurologically in people's lives.
Yeah. Well, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Glenn Lutyens, licensed marriage family therapist with focus on the family. And we're touching basically on some of the research found from renowned social psychologist. Jonathan, is it Haidt? Is that how you say his name?
I pronounce it Haidt.
Haidt, okay.
H-A-D-T, so it's not H-A-T-E, but H-A-D-T. Jonathan
Haidt. Yeah, you brought up the notifications issue, which, I would include texting in that. And I think smartphones have changed the etiquette for conversation. It doesn't only affect the user, it's certainly affecting these relationships. When you're in the midst of a conversation, so clearly I'm about to share a pet peeve. you're in the midst of a conversation with someone, and then hold on, I got a text, and then the time to wait for the reply, and it kind of in some circumstance. Now maybe some people don't have this issue, but sometimes it moves the phone and the people connecting with you via electronic devices to the front of the line in the midst of a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, there are some times where the positive of being able to have immediate access to someone, let's say when a person is on call, you know, somebody in the medical field, somebody in the counseling field, you know, in my own private practice, I've had at times to maybe interrupt something because an emergency has come up. So there's some benefits in that regard. But clearly, most notifications aren't emergencies that need immediate attention. So I think it's wise for people to just kind of comprehend the fact that, you know, if I don't get the latest post, you know, it's not the end of the world.
So we've touched on social deprivation and somewhat on attention fragmentation. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to touch on some of those other areas we teased at the beginning of this. Glenn, can you stay with us through the break?
I sure can.
All right. Don't go away. We'll be back with more on smartphones and its effect on youth and how we can counter some of that effect. And not only youth, in maybe all of our lives, but we'll get back more with Glenn Lutyens right after this on ABQ Connect. Right in the middle of a conversation with Glenn Lutyens. He's a licensed marriage family therapist with focus on the family. And Glenn, actually, before we jump back into our conversation, for those maybe unfamiliar with connecting with focus on the family in regards to some of these things, what are some of the ways that our audience can connect with focus on the family on topics like this and other topics?
Sure. They can give us a call at 1-800-A-FAMILY. It's a pretty easy number to reach that way. 1-800-A-FAMILY. And really pretty much any topic. We don't do counseling. The counselors provide initial consultation, typically a 20 to 30 minute call. There may be some resources. There may be some counselors. We do have a Christian counselors network of counselors who have been vetted throughout the country. And so we can provide some names, but there may be some broadcasts, some articles, and we can kind of talk through maybe some next steps that people might consider when dealing with, I've said, anything from toilet training to suicide. There may be some residential programs we're aware of that we can mention to people, but anything when people are dealing with life stuff, and they would like to talk with someone who is going to approach it from a biblical perspective, but understanding some of the psychological dynamics, we're certainly thankful when they reach out to us.
Yeah, and again, that number, the toll-free number is 1-800, the letter A, and then family. You can also go to focusonthefamily.com. And a reminder, Focus on the Family, a nonprofit organization, and a great source to go to for these resources, and they're often no cost, but remember it costs somebody, and the opportunity to support them financially is on the website as well at focusonthefamily.com. Glenn, let's return to our conversation about smartphones and its impact on youth. You and I both we both have adult children, and now we look forward to this next generation and, hope to counter some of the effects we've seen really in maybe even the last couple generations, what smartphones have done in ways of, we've already talked a little bit about social deprivation and attention fragmentation. Sleep deprivation. That one actually surprised me a little bit. When I read these, I kind of try to apply it to my own life. And is it causing me to lose sleep? What do we have to be concerned about?
Well, again, it's just that kind of gradual step by step. If somebody has a phone and they can kind of go online or go on social media, it's gonna take away from time that they normally would give to to sleep. And so when that's less likely to happen, there can be a number of factors that are involved in it. But one element that can be closely tied to sleep deprivation is depression. Back in 2011, the level of depression in teens, and you fast forward to 2022, the level of depression in teens has doubled. And so, there are a lot of things that are going on. Sleep deprivation, a lot of times, a person will get up when they need to get up. So a person may not be aware of it, but they're just not developing those healthy patterns, especially in those earlier years when the body needs the time. The body needs the sleep to grow and to develop fully. Keep in mind that the brain is not fully developed until approximately age 25. And so, those earlier years, those teen years, those childhood years, that sleep is a really crucial component for one's development.
Yeah. So some of it I have to imagine too is, anytime around electronics, whether it's the TV or a smartphone or a computer, just the stimulation that it creates. Mm. And I'm assuming some of that has to do with where you fall into that category of sleep deprivation where, mm-hmm. If you're constantly on it, where's the wind down?
Right. The other night I was watching a short YouTube and I'm like, this is not helping me relax. This is stirring up my limbic system. And can a person listen to a song that's relaxing? Can a person listen to maybe a worship chorus or something that kind of gets them in a place where sleep, they're ready to kind of take that next step into? Or is it just going to stir up their thinking and just kind of create some agitation? So that can factor into sleep deprivation as well.
Now, let me review. We've covered some of smartphones effects on youth when it pertaining to social deprivation, attention fragmentation, and now sleep deprivation, and then enters in addiction. We mentioned, I forget if we mentioned screen time earlier in this, but when that, it comes up on my phone once a week, and I'm always like horrified when I see how much and the thought of addiction does come in. And before I throw this to you, I want to throw this thought too. When it comes to vices, like whether it's pornography or alcoholism or gambling, without those things, there's no effect. There's positive effects. Mm-hmm. I've struggled with weight most of my life. Mm-hmm. And one of the thoughts I've had in regard to that, as far as eating disorder or addiction, is, well, you have to eat. Okay. And where it pertains to smartphones, it's a little less. You don't have to, but in the world we're living, as far as when it comes to employment or maybe even education to a certain extent, or how do you navigate this addiction area? Right. When you're really feeling like I can't totally cut it out.
Right. Right. And really the addiction, if we're talking about it in its, kind of extreme level, we're talking about probably 5 to 15%. So it's not the vast majority, but that doesn't mean that addictive elements may still not be at play. When we live by the mindset of I will pursue what I want right now, I'm probably experiencing kind of an addictive mindset, because I'm not looking at delayed gratification. I'm kind of allowing my sensory impulses to kind of lead the way. So when it comes to whatever area in a person's life, if it's you know, if we're talking about kind of screen time, you know, cell phone, that type of thing, if we're talking about food, if whatever it might be, if a person says, you know, here is the direction, I want to have some control over this. I don't want my impulses to necessarily dictate to me what I'm going to do. And so it may be limiting the amount of time that I'm on, social media. It might be, you know, at a certain time in the evening, let's say as a family, where, okay, we're going to charge our phones in a central area. Maybe one phone for mom and dad in case there's an emergency that, you know, people need to be woken up at 3 a.m, but most people don't need that other than, you know, someone in the family per se. The possibility of going on a fast for a certain period of time and maybe making it even an avenue where we're going to explore this. Maybe 1 week, family members just identify what's the amount of time that you're on social media, you're on your smartphone. Just not limiting it in any way, but here's the baseline. And so people write down what it is. And that might even in and of itself be surprising. People might think, oh, I'm not on it that much, but if they identify what it is, but then as a family, they can look at that and explore, okay, what does that mean? You know, what would it be like for us maybe to go on a 2-day fast? And the nice thing about it is, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, and that is that all of us, you know, adults and teens and kids, can relate to the fact that it's got a strong pull in our life. And so it's not so much where we're going to approach our kids from the vantage point of, okay, now mom and dad are going to say, you can't do this, or you got to cut it to this amount of time. But let's kind of almost look at it as a family social experience of talking about it. What are the pros and cons of this? What are some ways in which these patterns, these excessive patterns with social media can have a negative impact on us? And then maybe decide as a family. So there's more buy-in, especially for teens.
Yeah, you know, I have to imagine communication amongst the family has got to be another practical step to take where you're encouraging accountability, but making how we're going to do it clear that, you know what? Yeah, you have the freedom to tell me that I'm not paying attention to you. I'm communicating with my body actions or right. that this device is more important than you. But then also remind each other that just as the Bible talks about correction and going to those that were correcting in gentleness. As I recall being taught, that word gentleness in the Bible, when it refers to correction, is the same word in the Greek that's used for a doctor setting a bone. Being corrected, it hurts a little bit, but it's healing. Yeah. That communication has got to be a key. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I that's why if parents have experienced that struggle with, you know, wanting to turn on the smartphone, go on a YouTube or whatever it may be, they can relate to their kids and they can talk about, it's got a strong pull. And yet, you know, what might be some ways here that we can explore steps to deal with this?
Well, if you just tuned in, we've been visiting with Glenn Lutyens with Focus on the Family. He's a licensed marriage family therapist with Focus on the Family. And we've been kind of walking through some of the information found in Jonathan Haidt's The Anxious Generation. Haidt is spelled H-A-I-D-T. A resource to revisit some of what we talked about. I'd also encourage you to watch for this to be posted at abqconnect.online, where, you know, it's so funny. I'm guilty of this. I'll hear something, go, oh, you know who needs to hear that. Before you do that, maybe consume it for yourself and see the facts and the conversation have an impact on your lives. But anything outside of that, Glenn, as far as resources you would encourage the listeners to track down, or is that?
Well, there's a book by Kathy Koch, and she spells her last name K-O-C-H. Kathy Koch, she's been on Focus on the Family, but she's written a book called Screens and Teens, Connecting with Our Kids in a Wireless World, Screens and Teens. And that one, I think she really approaches it from a balanced way. She really has a lot of good to say. So that might be a worthwhile resource for families.
So much appreciate your time and expertise in this, Glenn, and look forward to having you back on again. Will you come back?
I will.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And thanks for tuning in and listening to ABQ Connect.